Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm very good. It was my birthday over the weekend, so I went to Paris. Gay Paris!
Oh, happy birthday to... Did I send you a birthday message?
You didn't, but then I didn't send one to you either. So we
it all works out. The circle
one old,
of
the
life.
Chris and the Pete.
Terrible friends.
But yeah,
I spent
the weekend in Paris.
Devil.
Had a lovely time. Ate a lot of steak tartare. It's kind of my thing. Every time I go to Europe, I have to eat as much steak tartare as humanly possible because
you're a man,
laugh in the face of salmonella.
It's disgusting, Pete. How can you eat raw? I mean, I eat steak more than anyone. I couldn't eat raw on that level.
Eggs. It's got lovely onion. It's got Tabasco. It's got it's delicious, Chris. And the sooner the world realizes it, the better, in my opinion.
Where did you stay in Paris? Like, what did you do?
I stayed in a place called Saint-Germain, which is... The thing is, I always had, for the longest time, I was like, oh, Paris a bit fucking dump in it, you know. The waiting staff at restaurants can be a little surly sometimes. But then I went and I was like, and maybe I just stayed in a different area, and I was like, this is lovely. This is absolutely lovely. Mm. And it's only a couple of hours from King's Cross. It was bloody perfect. A really great place to spend your birthday. So,
yeah, my memories of Paris... Last time I was in Paris would have been 2017 Fanatsky the movie. And I won't forget how beautiful some of the streets were. Little bakeries, little cafes. The waiters are really hit and miss. They're either really nice or quite rude. But then there is a sort of underside to Paris. You turn up in the wrong area, or you go on a really dirty train.
It's a city. I mean, it's a city, and it's a very modern city in that there are rough old places and very beautiful places, and that's where the money seems to have been spent, you sort of imagine. So look, you take the rough with the smooth with any city, I think, but you forget how bloody beautiful Paris is in parts.
It is stunning. I'd love to go back. I find London's a bit more consistent, but Paris has more highs than London and more lows in terms of, love to go back. Well done, happy birthday. Did you get any good presents?
My mum and dad, for some fucking reason, bought me a Diamante studded steering wheel cover.
What?
Not a clue, Chris.
Random.
Honestly, not a clue. And my dad's got a real boner about, and even at his age, he can manage it, about me using both hands on the wheel or something. They've got a real... bearing in mind, my dad's never driven in his life. He's got a real... He's very passag critical about my driving style. That he's never seen. Let's make that very clear. He bought me a Diamante studded kind of safety wheel, and I was like, you know, I went away to France. I was like, I'll save that present for when I get back, because you know, my mum and dad, lovely present, and what came out was just a Chinese made bit of rubber. It looked like an inner tube. I was like, what is this? I mean, even for my dad, this is a low point present wise.
He just cares about his favourite son.
He just cares about his only son. Well, yeah.
His favourite and only son. Mm. What did I do this weekend? Oh, I filmed at a tree house, a really luxurious tree house in Hakone, just outside Tokyo. For my friend's video that I appeared in. It's like a million-dollar treehouse. It was really bloody exquisite, as you'll see in the video. It was really good. It's aimed at like the high-end market who love to be in a treehouse for some reason. Really, it was really good, though. I really enjoyed it. And on the way
back,
we stopped at a road service station just to get like a toilet break and some food. And I passed an ice cream shop that had a very threatening slogan underneath. It was called Idabok, a bit of a weird name. And underneath the tagline, it just said, "I love my cows, you will too." And it just sounds so threatening. Like, "I love my cows, you will too." I didn't get my ice cream there. I felt too threatened. I didn't want to love the cows. Very bizarre. Who wrote that? God.
Who wrote that, and who, like... And to be honest, you've already got yourself to blame, Chris, because you've chosen to do that, so...
Well, clearly, I didn't love the cows. I didn't try the ice cream. I don't know what's going on there. But I did also see Jackie, who you saw a few months ago. Jackie, I hadn't seen her since our Sapporo trip, and it was really cool. I touched her, I shook her hand, and it felt like I was touching the great Pete Donaldson, given that you'd touched her just merely months ago. It was
there's too many uses of the word touch here. I'm not really sure I'm comfortable with any of these.
Well, they say the Pope, you know, he's touched each and every Pope, and the original Pope, of course, touched Jesus.
Yes.
It's the same with you, Pete. It's the same. Jackie hugged you, or touched you at some point, hopefully, and then I shook her hand this afternoon, and the circle was complete. I sort of touched...
You touched me,
Pete Donaldson.
Cool.
Met you. This is a really weird opening to the podcast. We got a story here. Steak tartare. Yeah. Covered in it. We got a story here from Marcus from Anchorage in Alaska. Greetings, Hartlepool Hogan. I thought it said Hartlepool Hooligan. And Chris the Barber Broad. A few years ago, I visited Asahikawa in Hokkaido, the hometown of my old buddy from my college years ago, who was an exchange student. With Asahikawa being an auto-centric city, having a car is essential. Asahikawa is a very cold city in central Hokkaido, famous for having a... the zoo, I think. I drove past it once. It looked kind of nice, but very cold. Luckily, I was able to ride in my buddy's car, as well as his parents' car, during the weekend. However, on Monday morning, everyone had to go to work, which meant I woke up that day to an empty house and no ride. I was told by the family that there is a bus stop a few blocks away. Having been spoiled by the smoothness that comes with IC cards like Suica in Tokyo and other rail-based cities, I was nervous and had no confidence in being able to competently handle a form of transport that requires paper tickets and coins. I boarded the bus and took the paper ticket from the machine door beside the door. As we got closer to the city centre, my anxiety steadily grew. I thought of what Japanese phrases to say to the driver in case I needed help with the payment process for the ride. Finally, it was time for me to get off. I went up to the machine next to the driver and placed my paper ticket into the slot of the machine. The driver turned and went, "No!" Apparently, the ticket was not to go in the slot, as evidenced by the fact that the driver had to get up and screw open the entire machine to try and pull the now mangled ticket out of it. I stood there with excruciating embarrassment. I could feel the eyes of 20 Japanese passengers staring at my back of my head as they wondered, how did this idiot American manage to even get all the way to Asahikawa in the first place? My ears were burning and I could feel my face beating as if my heart had rushed up to my head. Such was my embarrassment. I wanted to teleport out of there. Looking back, I think I'd put my ticket into the coin exchange slot. Whatever the case, I vowed never again to ride a bus in Japan. And my question for you guys is, have you ever experienced a moment in Japan that was so embarrassing you wanted to die? All the best, guys. Marcus from Anchorage, Alaska. And don't worry, Marcus, I've done the exact same thing at least 3 times. It's a very stupid system, how it works in Japan. Like, I don't know what they're thinking, right? You get up to the front of the bus and you think, oh, I'll put my ticket in or something. It's not. The big coin machine next to the bus driver on nearly every bus in Japan is just a change dispenser.
Right.
So you can pay the bus driver like the proper amount of coins. So you'll put like 500 yen coin in, it'll come out in 100 yens or 10 yens and things like that. But it's a mistake literally everyone makes because it's just such a weird convoluted system.
Why do they make the tickets so thin that, so as to be able to utilise one of those slots? That's what I want to know. Why do they make it coin width
Good
thin?
Point. Thick tickets. Let's get them going.
More thick tickets.
The
please.
Hack, though, the life hack to get around like Japan is just get a Suica card, because then you don't have to worry about tickets. You can just tap the card and go on your way. And the same goes for train stations, right, around Tokyo or Japan in general. Rather than working out the exact amount of money you need to get to the station you want to go to, just get a Suica card and you tap it and then some money disappears. You don't know how much exactly, but it's just so much easier. So always get a Suica card.
I'll just carry a knife.
Although,
let me on this bus.
Carry a knife.
Just carry a knife. Let me on this bus at once. I demand it.
The Pete Donaldson toolkit. Pete, yeah. You should write a book, Pete. How to get around Japan the Pete Donaldson way.
Correct.
With carrying a samurai sword. All right, Pete. Story of the week. What do we got this week? What's going down in Japan?
Well, speaking of writing a book, Chris. There is a Japanese cafe that's opened up in Tokyo with a very, very unique plan. They've developed a very unique solution to keep, pretty much anyone who has a deadline on that deadline. It's called the Manuscript Writing Cafe in the city's Koenjikita district, and it has 10 seats catered just to people who need to finish something at a certain time. All right, so you've got your artists, your writers, your editors, the people who want to get something done and they want it done quickly and they don't want to leave until they've finished. Basically, you're not allowed to pack up and leave for the day until you've finished your work. The cafe provides a goal tracking system that requires customers to write down their work goals for the day before settling in to have a cup of coffee or whatever. So you can go in, but you can't go out until you've finished everything that needs to be done for your deadline. Unlimited supply of coffee and tea. Presumably you get to use the bathroom as well, but they will literally not let you leave without finishing that deadline. I don't know how you I don't know how you sort of like I don't know how far this goes, because presumably at some point you get to the point where you're getting kidnapped. So like, what if you really, really want to leave and they won't let you leave? You've got two different settings as well. You can either have a mild kind of check-in here and there, whether the task was completed when you leave, but regular mode customers can have an hourly prod. So someone comes over and goes, "Oi, do your bloody work, do your bloody work." And there's hard mode, which involves a staff member constantly hovering over their shoulder and watching them work. So it's pretty intense. I'm not sure how legally allowed this is, but they've done it, and we'll see, I guess, won't we? We'll bloody see.
Sounds like the Colonel Gaddafi school of thought. It's all a bit bizarre.
It's a bit
like,
much,
what
isn't
the
it?
Actual hell? I don't know if this is the same place. I think it's different. I saw a similar place pop up recently in Tokyo that's supposed to stop people from procrastinating. And the way they do it is just by having crap chairs that are painful.
Or crap internet.
That doesn't make any sense. You'd just be like, no. This is unproductive. I'm leaving.
I
don't know
to the
how
coin.
I feel about this. I mean, it just sounds threatening. Would you actually go there? How much was it again?
I don't know what the price is normally, but if you want to take the opening hours a little longer, you can pay the cafe's charge of $1 for the first 30 minutes that you take the cafe past closing time, and $2.34 for every hour after that. So you're basically paying, $2.50. To make the staff work for another hour after closing time, so you can finish your finish your work. I mean, I would like to very much test the fabric of this plan by sort of never leaving, never wanting to leave, always having a coffee, always having a tea in my hand. How do you get people to leave who don't want to leave? That's what I want to know. It's like a cheap hotel room. Wow.
Do you think this would work in the UK? Have someone standing behind the customers with a baseball bat, waiting for them to finish their essay. Get it done! It's all a bit terrifying. It's all a bit unnerving.
No way.
And all a bit desperate.
Yes.
How did it get this bad? How did it get this bad, Pete? Why has it come to this?
Well, just people have unwelcome... people possibly get distracted very easily because we've got the internet in our pocket, haven't we?
That is true. Mm. Well, I mean, I'm editing Journey Across Japan 4 at the moment, Escape to Paradise, and I am really bad at procrastinating when it comes to editing. Mm. I'll like edit a scene. I'll be like, that's great. Now I'm going to go on Reddit. Now I'm going to read the news. Yeah. And then I just don't do anything for like 2 hours.
I do rotations of Kotaku.co.uk, that's your video game site, Reddit, Twitter, Facebook Marketplace, see if anyone's put anything weird on there, and then I'm back to work, really. It's excruciatingly annoying. You just got to do the rounds like a doctor.
It is like that, and I don't know how I can get around that. Maybe I go to the manuscript writing cafe, and I can sit there and have someone stare at me while I edit. Maybe the pressure and the uncomfortable nature of the environment will get me through. But yeah, it's interesting seeing these extreme cafes pop up in Tokyo at the moment.
Mm.
We lost the famous kawaii cafe in Harajuku, where it's all cute and colourful and there's dancing and magic, and now we've just been replaced with this. Like, get editing, get writing at gunpoint in this cafe. I might check it out, though. Maybe I'll go down there and have a look. Maybe I'll poke around. We'll be back in a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions with the fax machine.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from, who's this? From Terrell from Pennsylvania, USA, but Terrell now lives in Japan. Dear Phenomenal Pete and Lord Chicken Master Chris. Chris, I've been watching your channel now for a few years and listening to the podcast since my days in college. Hearing your adventures and living vicariously through you inspired me to live in Japan, which I currently do now. But where I am, there aren't many weird and wacky places to see. How do you find your weird, crazy and wacky places you visit, Chris? Do you Google them? Is it by word of mouth? Or do you stumble upon them randomly? Or is it a secret? Is there an underground Reddit for influencers and content creators and all that stuff? In addition, I feel like I need to thank Pete for promoting Coolish all the time. I finally tried it and it's official. I can't stay away from the stuff. So thank you, Pete. Chris, I saw somebody send me a picture of Coolish. I can't remember who it was because it was on Twitter. And I think there's like a Mitsuya cider version. Like the best Coolishes are like the sorbet flavours. Where you can have different kind of like very light kind of like sorbet kind of flavours. Bloody lovely.
Shit, you big just reminded me, I forgot to finish my energy banana drink today. It's just sitting in my studio, rotting away. God damn it. On to the question at hand. What was the question? Wacky places.
Wacky
it's got Google. I tell you though, you do need to know some Japanese. The most interesting places I found are usually like in Japanese. And
yeah.
I spend a lot of time on Google. For example, when I want to find an abandoned place somewhere or other, I'll type in like the name of the prefecture. So say like Saitama. I'll write that in. Then I'll write in Haikyo, the word for abandoned building. And then I'll see what comes up and I'll spend an hour on there looking through. And 99% of the stuff you find is rubbish, but that 1% is gold. And it's like that. It honestly just comes to lots of time. Even on Journey Across Japan 2, Escape to Fuji, it's always an escape somewhere, isn't there? I should really start thinking up more original titles. Escape to Fuji, on the first day, we went to like an abandoned mine in Gunma. It was a really creepy, awesome-looking mine. And it was like impossible to find. And the way I found that was I knew we were going to be driving through that area. I looked up stuff to do. There was nothing. So I literally went on Google Maps, zoomed in, and just looked at every interesting thing that popped up on Google Maps. And after half an hour, I found that place. So it all comes down to that. Just literally just staring at a map for half an hour. But yeah, or just copy the places I've gone to, like lots of other YouTubers do, and that'll make it a lot quicker and easier. We got a story here from Jacob. He begins, "Hello, Knightly Pete and Commander Chris. Ooh. My question for you is hostels." That's not a question, is it? It's a statement. "Me and some friends are hoping to take a trip to Japan for a few weeks next year, if the borders open. And in America, one person could reserve a hotel with two twin queen-size beds for one person, but have four people in the room to save money, which is what I do for conventions. But in Japan, would that be frowned upon if you get a room that's reserved for a person but have multiple people staying in the room to save some money? From Jacob in the frozen north of America, good old North Dakota." We had a listener from North Dakota write in last week as well.
We did, yes. Dakota heavy on one would Dakota. Say, yeah.
Why are our listeners there? We haven't got any questions from Sweden recently. Where are they all gone? Where's everyone? Is anybody listening from Sweden? Ask us a question.
Yeah, they've all gone away.
Our demographic today is just to North Dakota, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
They have a rule in Japan where sometimes you can't book a room for like two people if it's explicitly stated as being a room for one. There's some sort of rule in Tokyo where it's illegal to put a certain number of people in a room. So, for example, you might recall, I stayed in a room with Connor, the billion-dollar room up a skyscraper back in February. And even though there were like two double beds in there, we were told that you couldn't have more than two adults stay in that hotel room, even though it was huge.
Right, okay.
Even though it was like the size of Hartlepool, that bloody hotel room, you could only have two adults and one kid in the room, I believe.
Was it like tax, just because like a tax reasons or something?
There's a tax reason, but there's also like some sort of law as well. So the answer is, Jacob, I don't know if you can. It all comes on a case-by-case basis. Just check it out on booking.com or whatever, and that will let you know if you can have, you know, the number of people in there. But yeah, it's not a given that you can exploit that and stuff all your friends into two twin queen-size beds. We got a story here from Elijah. It says, "Hello guys, Elijah here from Chicago. I head off to study in Kyoto in October of this year, and I wanted to know, Chris, about the isolation of arriving in a foreign country for the first time, in which that already has an introverted, integrated society, and if it had affected you when you first arrived and how you ended up getting over it. All the best, guys. Cheers, Elijah." I mean, Kyoto, it should be easier to blend in or get stuck in Kyoto than it was where I did. I was out in the middle of nowhere, and it was quite difficult. But you're so busy often that you won't really notice that you're lonely or depressed, and that's how you get around it, to stay busy. Honestly, I don't think you'll find it as much of a problem as you think. Just make sure you get out and about and talk to people. When people, I made a rule in my first year that if people invited me to do something, I would always say yes. I became a yes man. And then I became a no man in the second year when I realised that was a shit strategy. But no, it's good though. Say yes to everything. You'll be invited to lots of things. You'll meet incredible amounts of people. You'll befriend two of them. And then that will set you up the next 8 years, eight,
that's
9 years.
Basically,
and that's me. That's how I operate. Any advice, Pete, for getting stuck into somewhere new. What did you do when you moved to London? How did you get through it?
How did I get through it? I mean, work's a big thing, isn't it? Sort of, when people sort of, you know, criticise the sort of makeup of your friendship groups, I do sort of think, well, it very much sort of depends on your who you are with at work, I suppose. I've mainly sort of made friends through work, pretty much. I would say I'm a bit of an, you know, although I do this job, I'm very much a bit of an introvert when it comes to talking to new people. I just always think I'm going to embarrass myself, so I find it very hard to make new friends. So you know, all the people who see me at my worst are the ones. Thanks, Chris. I think, it can be a little bit difficult, I think. So, yeah, I mean, work's just a big thing, I guess. Work socialising.
Yeah, or just start a YouTube channel and the whole world will be your friend. I've got millions of friends now.
Millions,
if you're listening
friends,
to this, you're my friend. Keep the stories, questions, don't hold me to that. Keep the stories, questions, comments. And even if you are my friend, as we've established earlier, you won't get a guaranteed birthday message, just like Pete.
Exactly.
Although I didn't get one from him either, so it goes both ways. Friendship, isn't it? Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later this week to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.